Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. It's been a great week. Round one's in the bank for the WNBL, and round seven is in the bank for the NBL. Body, what a fantastic week, mate. How'd you enjoy that?
Well, I didn't enjoy our selections because I got a lot of them wrong in the men this week.
Yeah, you and everyone else.
Yeah, I think we did okay with the ladies. You might have gone with your heart picking Geelong, but I think we got pretty much the rest of them right.
So. Yeah, well, let's, as we do, start with the WNBL. They're back. Of course, thank you to Tess Madgen last week. I got some well-received feedback from that. She was outstanding. Yep. So four games played this week, all eight teams played. Yes, I picked Geelong. I thought they would do it in the emotion-charged game against Townsville, but, man, Townsville looked good. They won. Bendigo beat Adelaide at home, Perth, Sydney Flames both getting wins at home over the Southside Flyers and Capitals. Body, talk to me, Townsville and Geelong, you and Tess were very strong that Townsville would win that. Pretty much everything you said went to script, I thought.
Yeah, except for the one thing you said Townsville looked good. I don't think they looked very good in those uniforms. I thought they were the most hideous uniforms I've seen since the league
launched. Yes, I have seen better. You're right.
1981. Oh, gosh, they were awful. I mean, off-white, off orange, off just off colour, off putting. But their game, that was quite obviously very good in the way they dismantled Geelong. Geelong just don't actually have enough score power at the moment. I think they're going to have to rely heavily on defence every week because they're not going to be posting huge scores. I mean, they've got 58. That's not going to beat anybody.
No, it's not. Shout out to the Frolling Sisters, of course, in the winning. Rolling sister Alicia had 17 and 9, but I thought Keely played pretty well and gave her heart at 15 and 7.
Yeah, so did I. Moving on though, we got the way Bendigo handled Adelaide. Again, that the margin is a little bit deceptive because Bendigo actually blew them off the floor in the last quarter. So that game was close to for three quarters, and then I think they made some interesting moves, like sitting Japrice Dean down in the last quarter at Adelaide. When she finishes with 23 points.
Probably
not a smart move.
But she played 37 minutes. So, just sitting there, she needed to play 40. No, I agree with what you're saying. Casey Samuels was good with 21 and 7, but I thought Sammy Whitcomb was outstanding at 27 and 7. Buddy, I just want to ask you something as we're on Adelaide, and let's bring it up now. I always read your articles, and if anyone hasn't, you've got to, BOTINAGY.com. BOTINAGY.com. You wrote an article this week at the Lightning. Your exact words were Lightning face another strikeout. Two questions I've got for you. One, that doesn't sound good for the team itself. And two, do you think that the players know that and that plays on their mind?
Absolutely. That's actually a point going forward because I think they've got enough talent. I mean, they lost this game to Bendigo, but they didn't have Steph Talbot, given Bendigo also didn't have Kelsey Griffin. But, they've got enough talent to be a Final Four team this season. But when you've got that going on in the background, you know that your ownership, Peligra, has handed the license back to BA said, no, we're not accepting that. You've got to see out the season. So they're seeing out the season. But then at the end of that, the future of the Lightning is back again once up in the air.
It's been a few times, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has been about half a dozen times since it was run by the association way back when, which ended in 2006. So, I think that would prey on your mind. But I think if Nat Hurst is smart in this area, she would be. She would just say, we can only control the controllables. Let's focus on beating as many teams as we can, being as good as we can.
Look, sometimes I remember many years ago, and I'll talk the men's here, I remember when the Kings were about, or did go under, and there was a lot of talk about that, and Gorge was the coach then, and I wasn't involved in the club then, but that galvanised them. Now, they didn't win it, but it actually galvanised them. So it can work both ways, right?
They got the championship series, didn't they?
It was that Melbourne-Brisbane-Sydney era, you know what I mean? And I can't remember who's who in that one, but I know the Kings didn't win it because they won it earlier in that decade. But it can galvanize, but you know, it's a tough gig. Let's move over to Perth, and Perth were pretty you know, pretty good. Annalie Maley was outstanding, 22 and 12. I thought Elise Koenig, in her first game for Southside, coming from Townsville, obviously, 22 and 11. But
are
Perth
you calling
just too
her
good.
Elise when her name is Alice? Was it Elise in Wonderland for you when you got the little book when you were a little
boy? I've heard people call her Elise. Now, I've actually commentated with her, and I love her. She's outstanding, but I've heard Elise and Alice. It's like Golding and Goulding. You know what? Koenig. Is that okay if I just say that?
Yeah, yeah. And I won't mention DJ Hoag ever again either.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So Perth,
or AJ Ogilvie. Yeah, that one, yeah.
Perth were like 31 up in June the third quarter. They were playing outstanding. They made Southside look very, very ordinary. So that result flatters Southside, even though 15 points is substantial. But I expect them to bounce back in this round. And you would have seen Sydney Canberra firsthand. You had to be impressed with the Flames.
Yeah, I were. Let's just stay with Perth for a sec. Shot 52% on 94 points, 41 from the three-point line. Like, they were humming, man. So, yes,
that's
I agree with
game.
You.
That's their style.
Sydney, very impressive. I'm going to ask this because I thought Nicole Munger and Jade Melbourne was great, right, for the Caps. But Kayla George and really Michaela Roof was outstanding. Michaela had 25 and 10. But I did like what the Flames got. My question to you is, did the Flames look that good, or is Canberra going to have a tough year? Because I didn't see a lot that's going to make me feel, geez, they're going to get a lot of wins.
No, Canberra are going to be looking forward to when they play Geelong in the schedule.
Yeah.
But that said, they will still cause the upset here and there. They are that team that will get
and
get rolling. But they've lost a couple of significant pieces to other clubs. So,
and so is Sydney. You know, like losing Nicholson is a big loss. You know, she's an excellent NBL player.
And
you
what
know,
is she thinking wanting to be a mother?
I know. Oh, my God. Please, please make all your emails and and comments to at Body Knowledge.
Lauren. She knows I love her. She's the last story I ever wrote. You know that.
Just tell me your player of the round. I want to start that first, please.
I'm going with Annalie Maley. 22 points at 64%, 12 rebounds, a couple of really big plays that sort of spurred them in the second quarter when the game was still kind of up for grabs, and then off they went. And once the third quarter started, they were just fabulous. So Annalie was mine. Who was yours?
Sammy Whitcomb. I thought she was great with 27 and 7. You know, not like coming off NBL, coming off Olympics. Sorry, NBA, coming NBA, off Olympics. Yeah. You know, like I love her. I think she does a really good job. She's a great veteran, and I thought she played really well. Before we get on to the men's, I just want to go to round two. Give me your tips. This is a good one, actually. Perth at home versus Townsville.
Perth?
Yeah. You know what? I'm going an upset and going Townsville. I'm just – there's something I like about that team.
You designed the away uniform, obviously.
Yeah. Geelong versus Southside. I think we can comfortably say Southside win that one. Yeah. Yep. Caps versus Bendigo. Yeah. And Southside at home versus the Flames. Tough one because they'll be coming – well, they're not coming back from Geelong. I mean, they're driving down the highway. That's nothing really for Southside. Yep. And a day's break too. I think I'd have to go Southside at home for that one. I just worry the Flames.
I'm going to go Sydney.
Okay, good.
Yep.
Good.
And Adelaide-Perth, I'm going to go Perth.
Yeah, so then hang on, there's more. Yeah, okay, so you're going Adelaide-Perth. And then to finish the round is
Bendigo. Who are you going for that one?
I can't see anything but a Perth win. Perth for me, I just can't see that. And then I obviously Bendigo versus Geelong. It's going to take me a while to pick Geelong. Sorry, I love them. I love the coaches. I love the program. I love what they've been able to do. But that did not give me any great confidence watching them the other night.
No. Now, we're going to call that the Gold Rush game, given that they're both reasonable Victorians and there was no gold ever found in Geelong.
Oh, only you can think of that. All right, that's the WNBL, and thank you so much. Now let's move on to the NBL. Now, as we know, we're round seven are in the bank. Body, I'm going to read my top six out this time, and then I want you to read yours, and we're going to go through your one this one because we always do it slightly different. Yeah. I've changed my order. I had New Zealand number four last week, and after this round, I've got them at number one. We're doing it after the rounds. I am very comfortable with that. New Zealand one, Illawarra two, Melbourne three, although that loss to New Zealand, wow. Adelaide four, Sydney got a win with a loss, not confident. But rocketing into the six for the first time this season for me is the South East Melbourne Phoenix. I thought they were great. What you got, buddy?
Well, this is the first time that I've changed it. You know, I've been very consistent. I've stuck with Cairns and Tasmania, looking at the long term, because I don't do it round by round. I actually look at the overall, well, where are we? Which is why I wasn't, you know, huge on New Zealand while they'd only played the same couple of teams twice, you know.
To be fair to you, you did say that every time as well.
Yeah. Now I've got them in second place. So it's the first time they've been in the six for me, and I've got them in the second spot.
In second? Wow.
Yeah, okay. I've jumped
into
second. Then?
So who you got?
I've still got Illawarra at first. I think the loss in Perth, no Trey Kill. Okay, admittedly, no Bryce Cotton either, but I wasn't real upset by that. You score 105 points and lose. Okay, the other team just really
so
shot
Illawarra
the lights out.
Illawarra New Zealand two.
Yeah. Melbourne three, despite that loss, that hiccup. We'll see if they make up for it this week. I'm pretty sure they will. I've got Sydney at four. I mean, that was a narrow loss to Melbourne and a comfortable win over Cairns, which, I mean, that wasn't Cairns. That wasn't the tie pants. It was just the tie. You didn't even get to the second part because they didn't have any. And then Adelaide at five. And then I agree with you. I've got Southeast Melbourne have moved into my six for the first time.
All right.
Well,
two new teams. Let's start with Illawarra then. All right. So Illawarra obviously go over to Perth, a very, very high scoring game. 113-105 Perth win. What did you see out of that game?
Well, like I said, if you scored 105, you haven't done too badly.
Yeah.
I mean, you've given up 113. I know a bit's already been said about this, and I've got to agree. There was just too much preoccupation with the referees by Illawarra from Justin Tatum down through the roster. And I also felt the NBL really, really precipitated that by having Chris Reid, who gave the unfortunate and unnecessary tech foul the previous week against Illawarra, which cost him the game against Melbourne. Let's not dispute that. To have him on the game again, I thought that was – you know, just playing with fire.
Well, so, I don't disagree, but Tyler Harvey and Dave O'Hickey again, 20 points, 10 of 14. 10 of 14 he shot, and Tyler Harvey, 10 of 13. Like, yes. Geez, you can't ask much more. I got to ask, where the hell is Trey Kell? Like,
we
haven't heard.
Back injury. And, you know, those are like, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, starts to feel good. You twinge it just because of the way you stood up from your sofa. Yeah. You know, so I don't know. There's a question. That's been a thing with Trey Kill, hasn't it? It was a thing at Southeast Melbourne.
Yeah.
And then again at Adelaide. Keeping him on the floor and healthy is not as easy.
I just want to shout out to Dave O as well, making the Australian team really happy for him.
Excellent.
He is shooting 54% from the field, but 1 of 11 from the three. Now, the reason I want to say that is the easiest thing every team will say is just make him shoot the three. It's not that easy. He's so downhill when he gets going. He's just unbelievable the way he weaves through. So very impressive. But
we should say Perth. That first quarter, the way they were shooting the three, first half, the way they were shooting, and as we go, Ben Henshaw, as you go through that game, we shouldn't ignore that that was a different look for Perth again and a good look.
I did want to just put them like, there's the Illawarra, that's thing, but shout out to Perth again. No MVP in Bryce Cotton. And Ben Henshaw comes out where it was, you know, someone else last week, whether it's a Ty Webster or Keanu Pinder. But Ben Henshaw, 8 of 15, 26 points. I thought Doolittle, he's just solid, man. 13 and 7. Ty Webster, he's playing really well, buddy. He's playing really well. I like what he's doing. Dylan Windler did well, his 17 points. But overall, great win by Perth. It really was.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And so you sort of think, okay, I might have to revisit how I feel about Perth, but I've still got them out of my six because of the way they backed up. They were terrible against Southeast Melbourne.
Yep.
You know, really, they were very, very poor. And again, the coach got all caught up in the officiating. And, you know,
it's happening just, too much, isn't it?
Yeah, get too on much. With the game.
Like, what you're saying is you score 113 points and then 2 days later or 3 days, don't quote me on that, 76.
Yeah.
And the first quarter, 35-23. Game's over, man. You told your team, if you're getting up 30-plus points in that first quarter, you catch up and you can't do it. Let's stay on Perth for a second, right, because really Elijah Pepper was really the only one. He had 17 points. Everyone else, they shot 36% from the field.
I'm not a fan of his. I'm sorry. He's yet
bit
to
erratic.
Convince me.
Yeah. Bit erratic. Yeah, I can
really
see that.
Makes some really dumb decisions. Yeah. But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, he's young. Well, let's talk about the Phoenix then, because we're here, right? So that was their game.
Josh King.
Wow. Josh King, very impressive.
Yeah.
That was really impressive. I'll talk about the Perth game first. Nathan Sobey, 20 points. That is with five assists, three blocks. This is the different Nathan Sobey now. I had him and an all-star in the all-NBL team at the beginning of the season. And everyone was like, bullshit.
Yeah,
like, and I had Phoenix in the six as well, right? I'm still not convinced he will be in that top three of the MVP, but I tell you what, I love this Nathan Sobey. I remember the first time I saw him in Cairns, loved him from day one. He's so talented. But that erraticness and what he's been doing in that
bit.
I know. But look, Matt Hurt, what a great import he's becoming. Yeah. 17 points. Angus Glover, doing amazing stuff. And I thought with him at the point, because they've got Derek Walton Jr. So great game. Ben Eyre didn't play again, which sometimes I just don't know. I don't mind Ben Eyre.
Just hold your horses. Now, against Tasmania, he did play important minutes, was significant in that victory. You know, you're going up against a Jordan Crawford, like for like sort of thing. So it's horses for courses.
Yeah, fair
and
enough.
as long as you've got player buy-in, like they say, okay, I realise that today I'm not contributing on the floor, but next game I could be the vital component. So as long as you get buy-in, and Josh King, early days, they were 0-5 under Mike Kelly. What are they now, 4-1?
Yeah, they are.
Form team in the league right now.
Two wins for Sammy.
Two for Sammy and one
loss. Staying on Malik Lewis, what a weekend he had. Then they went, obviously, their second game of the round, their first game. Geez, Tasmania, mate, they score 77 points and then come out to do that against Melbourne. But let's stay on Southeast for the moment of the second. Matt Hurt again, 24 points, good 64% clip. Nathan Sobey, 14 points with 9 assists. They're doing well.
Yeah, that was the game that Tasmania blew. That was the one where I thought, okay, I've got to start looking at dropping them out of my six. Because even though I keep looking down the track and going, Sean McDonald will come back. They'll find their new identity. They've still got Scott Roth calling good shots. So I still thought they would be around the mark. But in that one, they blew that game. And they had blown a previous game too in similar fashion. And then they had no manpower left to play to beat Sydney.
Stay on the Jackies then for me. So 60 points. I called that game, right? And I thought they hung around in that first half. They did everything they could. And the best way I can sum up Tasmania at the moment is you are playing the hardest defense. Everyone's given effort. There's no question with that whatsoever. Yep. You are trying your hardest. They kept the Kings to 14 points in the second period, and 12 of those were from Kwot Noi. So they did everything they possibly could. But then 26-18 in the third, they lost. 21-9 in the fourth.
Yeah, they're done by then. They're cooked by that time. You know,
I could probably get kicked for saying this. Unless they make a change, they're not going to go anywhere.
100% correct. I agree. They need to. Craig Sword, not the right fit. I'm not saying he's a good player or bad player.
That's a great analogy, because you're not saying he's not a good player.
No, he's incomplete.
He was signed, and we keep saying he was signed when Jack McVeigh was there, and that was where he was going to fit in. I do agree with you with Sean McDonald. I think he'll be a very, very big pickup
really
when they come back. So much. Well, let's stay on that game as we're flicking around here. The Sydney Kings. I'm going to be honest. I didn't think they were great. I thought Kwot Noi was outstanding. That's the best way I can put it, right? I thought he was unbelievable. He had 5 of 5 from the three-point line in the first half. I think he had, as I said, 12 or 14 of those second quarter points, 15 or 17 or whatever he had at halftime. He won him the game. The next best was like Cam Oliver at 12, Alex Tui 11, Xavier Cooks 10. There wasn't much there.
But that's the thing about Sydney is they'll find someone's going to step up.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, wasn't it Sean Bruce who's
had
DM since then?
He
a bunch of threes. Like they've got enough in their arsenal to get them across the line. When they're not playing great, and they're not playing great right now. But there's enough there.
Scraping the wins.
They
also played Melbourne United, who on the Thursday night, Cam Oliver 18 and 16, best game of the season by far for him.
Yeah.
But. Melbourne did Melbourne things, just got away with the win, basically. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Yep, wind assisted.
Let's move to Adelaide. because we haven't spoken about them. They're number five because we've spoken Illawarra News. Did we speak Melbourne? And we actually had a chat about Melbourne. Do you want to talk about Melbourne a little bit? I know you've got
their win over Sydney had merit.
Yeah,
you know, it was a good win. It wasn't a great win. You know, when some calls helped, and then their performance against
Tasmania.
Well, maybe New Zealand. Island, mate.
Wrong Island. I went to the right instead of the left. Yeah,
they got their brains blown out. I mean, they really got their brains blown. I haven't seen them get whooped like that. They look like the Masters games are going on in Gold Coast. They look like that's where they belonged.
You know who I really, really feel sorry for? The Brisbane Bullets on Thursday night. Yeah. They play Melbourne. All right, we'll come back to that because they are going to get absolutely smashed. I agree with you. That is going to be an absolute unbelievable scoreline. Adelaide. Can I just say, PJC, that is one of the best performances I've seen so far this year.
First quarter, 14 points. 14 in the first, 20 and a half.
He was great. And he was great in Sydney last week when I was sitting there watching him too. He was great. Adelaide, an interesting weekend for Adelaide.
No, it wasn't. They were crap. They dropped their bundle. They had no answers. And they flew the white flag. Very disappointed with that.
Yeah.
They've got to show more than that and bounce back because the talent's there. Mm. However, New Zealand, you know, I like the coaching too. There's some good things happening.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big fan of Karim Lopez with that 7-foot-plus wingspan.
Mate.
Sticking him on Vasiljevic and then Goulding, two great
Karim Lopez looked like he's holding a tennis ball when he's holding that ball. His hands, mate, they're Clyde Drexler hands. They're unbelievable. He goes up for some layups and it's like he has to it sucks off his hand. It's coming the ball, you know, man. Huge fan of him. He's got a 2-year deal with New Zealand. Next year, can you imagine it? Because he can't go pro next year.
No,
right?
He's too young.
He's a 2026 draft. I'm like, oh my goodness.
No, I'm big. But those, you know, and the other big factor for him on this particular round was Sam Meninga stepped up to be Sam Meninga that we have been expecting, have been waiting for, that we've seen glimpses of. He started to show it against Adelaide. He was pretty good against Adelaide. And then he was unstoppable against Melbourne.
Righto, now. The two big teams. I know everyone's been waiting for it. We haven't spoken about them at all. That Cairns Taipans versus the Brisbane Bullets. What a game that was, buddy.
Yeah, was it? Yeah. Okay. again, Cairns undermanned and basically
blew it at the
away.
End.
Gave it away in the
blew
end.
Blew it at the end. Yeah. I feel for them because, you know, 28-15 in the fourth. They lose by four. Rob Edwards, I thought he played all right. I thought Sam Wardenberg was best for them. He played really well. What about this Alex Higgins-Titcher? How good is he, mate?
I love this kid.
11-11 he had. Yep. Just really,
great
really
focus
enjoyed.
Too. He's really into it. He's moving around. Look, Adam Ford gets the best out of what he's got.
Yes.
But until he gets his full, full strength, going strong from here on out, I see him in the six. But with these absentees, and the same with Tasmania. You can't keep. Now we took Will Magne out for the game against Sydney. You can't keep taking pieces out like that and expect to be competitive. So they're where they are as a result of circumstances.
Tyrell Harrison, though, 14 points on 10 shots. That man needs to take 20 shots a game, right? That's where they've got to go. 20 rebounds, though. Jeez, man. 9 offensive. Like he's balling.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me now talk to you. What was your best moment of the
round? All right. Well, I know the one you're going to pick. So because I know the one you're going to pick, I'm going to go with I'll toss up between Sam Wardenberg's dunk because he threw down absolute, and I know Adelaide's getting flogged by New Zealand, but Nick Marshall comes down the lane and throws down a two-handed wicked thing. I thought, well, okay, that's not a bad consolation prize.
And he had a little look after it as well. I saw that.
Yeah,
and, buddy, can you just – I know the listeners won't hear me say this. Can you stop telling them you know what mine is? I mean, we don't talk prior to this, mate. Will you stop saying those things?
Yeah, I know what yours is going to be because you're a Sydney Kings man.
That's right. Mine
– Surprises.
That mine is – the weekly chat I have with Boddy. It's just the play of the round. Mine is Quat Noise Not both dunks, the one dunk. Shocker. But come on, if you can't give me some love for that one. That was a dunk. Goes down the middle, 2 feet, bang, tomahawk. I think it was over Gap, if I'm not, Gap, if I'm not mistaken. That was just unbelievable. And he had a little swiggle and a little dance afterwards as well. It was great. Look, I'm going to ask player of the round, but I mean, how... You can't go against PJC.
A couple of weeks ago, we couldn't split Bryce Cotton. As much as we'd like to give two different, you know, different viewpoints, you can't. Again, we can't split Parker Jackson Cartwright. He was killed Adelaide, and he let's face it, he killed Melbourne. So basically, two of our leading teams or teams that we've had right in the mix for playoffs. He destroyed them. They had no
Shout out to guys like Ben Henshaw and things like that who had a really good game. Sure. But Boddy and I spoke about this off air, and we're like, as much as we do want to say, nah, let's you go that guy and I'll go this guy. Yeah. We would be unprofessional, even though we're not professional, if we didn't do anything of that nature.
See, they PJC can't see is just killing it. They can't see that you're in your underwear. So, you know, there's only a certain level.
It's funny, they can't see it. My wife can't stand it. So it's the same type of thing. Boddy, let's go next round first. I want to go next round and then we'll get into the Nasty and Rattler. Brisbane losing at home against Melbourne. Is that correct?
That's it, yeah.
By the way, Melbourne haven't lost for 2 years or something when they've two in a row, and I'm not including the grand final series, all right? So there's that grand final series to Tassie. Take that out. In a regular season, they haven't lost for 2 years. And they this year alone, I think the two games they lost, they were like 26 and 28 they won, and then they beat another team as well. Perth at home versus Tassie. Nah, Perth.
I like him. I like him because Tassie, I'm just not – I just don't know who they're putting on the floor. Milton Doyle is struggling without having McVeigh there as in support. So, yeah, I think Tasmania.
Right, this one, I cannot wait. This one, Sydney Kings, Friday night, I'm calling, against four ex-Sydney Kings players in the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. Now, we're not sure if Derek Walton Jr. will play. I have heard that if he doesn't play Friday, he'll play Sunday. That's what I've heard. So in other words, he's real close. Then you've got Angus Glover after an ugly split last year and not playing under Mahmood. Jordan Hunter wanted to stay from everything I hear, and then he's gone. And then you got Vodanovic as well, who had moved on and went to Tassie last year prior. But, mate, this is going to be a ripper game, and I can't believe I'm saying that 2 weeks after Southeast are 0-5.
Yeah, so basically, are you trying to tell the listeners that Southeast Melbourne is Sydney Kings light? So what are you trying to say?
I can talk for Boddy when I say this. I can't lose.
there'll be some good Kings players in this game.
Kings players were the best.
I'm going for Southeast Melbourne.
Yeah, you know what? Based on where we're at the moment, I got to go to Southeast. I really do.
Really?
I'm loving what they're bringing. Josh King.
You know, a number of our regular listeners have fallen off their chairs, have had car accidents, have spilled
food. See, it's funny because you can't because you're tied into your one, so they won't let you. What's that machine behind you that lifts you up? Is that moving? Tasmania at home to New Zealand.
Breakers.
Breakers. I'm with you. Melbourne at home to Perth. I got Melbourne.
Me too.
Phoenix, a double. Jeez, that means they go 4-0. That's tough. But anyway, they could. Cairns at home. You got Phoenix?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Another ripper game. Adelaide coming off a very poor performance. Illawarra coming off not a poor performance, but a loss.
Yeah.
Adelaide.
Let's face it, the first time we really started to notice Adelaide was when they beat Illawarra and Wollongong. Yes. So But this time I reckon it's going to be reversed. I think Illawarra will get this one.
No, I'm going Adelaide with no Trey Kell.
Okay.
I'm assuming Trey Kell is not playing. Mate, give me your Nodge Nasty, please.
My Nodge Nasty is, look, can we just call a travel? The moment FIBA decided to grey up what was always black and white, now it's just become ridiculous. You know, I'm not singling out Angus Glover, but there was a moment in the game where he caught the ball at the top of the key and he took four, five steps.
It's happening adjustment. Everywhere,
that's
Boddy.
That's not a gather
It's happening
step.
In the NBA. It's happening in the NBL. It's happening in junior leagues. I see it everywhere. Yeah. I see it. You know, my kids are playing in high school basketball. It's not called, and it's wrong. And I completely agree with you. My Rosen Rattler. Now, oh. I love the referees and I stand up for them because I think, you know, no, it doesn't, it's not an easy job to be a referee.
Right.
I didn't think the tech foul last week was correct. No. But what I don't like and what I seem to be seeing at the moment is it's us versus them, referees versus players or referee versus coaches. Yeah. I don't like that. I don't like it. It's like every call is starting to get an argument. I'm not blaming the referees here because they're probably like over it. Just shut up and sit down, basically, is what they're saying.
They gave them the leeway and now they're paying the price for it.
Now, that is where I was going. That was where I think right now, I don't know if you've just got to throw a couple of guys out or give them a tech, do something, because at the moment, I'm worried that it's going to get something where it's going to really hurt down the track. Like if that was a playoff game and something happened like what happened to Tatum last week, could you imagine the uproar if that's game two or game three in a playoff series, right? And that would be blamed on a referee. Let's just put it that way, right? So
Are you referencing the Melbourne Illawarra semi-final series last season? Because, you know, there was a bit
look,
of
look, every ref's going
to
make a mistake, and I got no problem with that, right? And I don't have a problem. What I have a problem with is there's a very big us versus them mentality. And I'm not saying it's the refs versus them and the players versus this. There's just a gap, and it's got to be addressed, in my opinion, because I think it's becoming worse and worse, and it's got to change because it's taking away from the game a little bit.
Yep. All right, let's get out of here.
Thank you, everyone. I love that you've been able to listen to us. We love you guys. And let us know on socials what you think. And, of course, we'll be back next week on the Brad and Boddy podcast. See you next time, Boddy.
Yeah. Hey, Brad, now I heard that you might have witnessed a conversation in-game between Scott Roth and Brian Gorgian. What went on?
Buddy, it was awesome. Gorge has called a timeout really frustrated and he starts to walk up to the referees and Scott Roth walks up to him and nibbles in his ear and says something. And it's right in front of where me, Copes and Matt Russell are commentating. And we didn't know what happened. So we asked Scott Roth at halftime and we said to him, what did you say? And he said to Gorge, let's see if we can get thrown out together.